This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of The Narcissist Code. I am your favorite narcissist, Mr. Lee Hammock, aka Mental Illness, from TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and all over the internet. If this is your first time tuning in, I am a diagnosed narcissist. I have narcissistic personality disorder. I know it might sound unbelievable to y'all, but look, guess what? I've been in therapy for the last 4 years. I've been in psychotherapy for the last 4 years. I get a question like that a lot. I'm not a psychopath, but I am in psychotherapy. The point of my entire channel, the point of my entire platform, is to bring awareness to personality disorders and other mental illnesses, and to get more people into therapy, y'all. I'm in therapy. I think therapy is a tool. I love it. Therapy has helped change my life, and I want it to help change everybody else's life. In the process of getting people into therapy, we're also going to be validating the victims and survivors of, you know, the personality disorder, of the abuse and things of that nature. Today's episode is going to be about narcissistic rage. Woo! This is one of the main questions that I get on my TikTok account, which now has over 500,000 followers on TikTok, y'all, which is insane to me. I'm like, wow. Narcissistic rage, though. People want to get my perspective on narcissistic rage and, like, why it happens, what is going on in my head and things like that. So, first of all, a lot of times, y'all, anger is easy to narcissists. Like, point blank period, narcissistic rage happens a lot of times because anger is the easiest emotion experienced by narcissists. Normal narcissists, your regular run-of-the-mill narcissists, we can experience emotions. I know people are like, you can't feel, you're a robot. I am a narcissist robot. No, I'm not robotic. I have emotions and things like that. And anger is the easiest emotion to experience for narcissists. It's just easy. Anger is easy. Rage is easy. It's the other stuff that is hard, like love, affection, caring, compassion, empathy, all the other stuff. That is hard to, it's just hard to do. You know what I mean? And rage and anger is easy. So that's why a lot of times you're dealing with narcissists, you get rage and anger, which are easy emotions for us to, you know, experience. In the process of getting, like, the rage coming out and things like that, I've been raging since I was little, y'all. This has been one of my qualities, one of my characteristics. You can ask all my little cousins. They're like, hey, Lee is funny, but, like, look, don't get him mad, because when he gets mad, he turns into a different person. And I always describe, like, my rage like this. When I go into that rage, when I go into, like, that narcissistic rage where, like, literally nothing can stop me, it's like I become a passenger to myself. It's like I'm still there. I'm still present. I can still see. I can still feel. But I can't control anything. It's like I'm watching. It's like something else takes over my body, and, like, it's just going, it's like literally raging and screaming and cussing and saying the most hurtful stuff, and I just, like, literally can't stop it, you know? And sometimes you don't want to stop it, because honestly, it feels good. Like I said, let me go ahead and preface this. I've never been physically abusive to any woman in my life. You know, I've gotten into fights and stuff with men. I can throw them hands a little bit, whatnot, but I've never been physically abusive to a woman. So, but, like, I can see sometimes when people get into these narcissistic rages where they will probably get physically abusive to their significant others. If you're a woman, you might get physically abusive to your man. If you're a man, you might get physically abusive to your woman. Things of that nature. But, like, when I go into these rages, I swear it feels like I can see and hear. I can see, hear, feel every single thing that is absolutely going on when I'm raging out. But, like, I can't stop it. I literally just cannot stop it. No matter what I try to do, I cannot stop it until it stops itself. I don't know how it stops. Sometimes the person will walk off and leave. Sometimes I would just feel like, you know, they would leave the room. They would leave the house. We were like, you know, if it was a man or something like that, we would fight or whatever. You know what I mean? The bar or the club fight would end. Whatever the situation, it would end, you know. Typically, it ended when people remove themselves from the situation. Like, if I'm arguing with my wife, whatever, I'm raging out of my wife, I'm screaming at my kids, stuff like that, they leave. They leave the situation, and the rage typically ends. I'm not chasing them down and hunt them down to finish the rage off, you know. But situations like that, like, but in those moments, y'all, after the, like, in those moments, sometimes it actually will feel good to get that rage out, because a lot of times the rage comes from the narcissist building up, like building, like, not communicating. Communication is a problem. Like, when the narcissist or myself personally, when I'm not communicating my other emotions, it tends to build up. It tends to build up, pop, and then it's rage time. And like I said, sometimes you get that rage where you really literally don't know what happens sometimes. Like, it's just a blackout rage. You're like, dang, I can't. You come to, and stuff has happened, and they say, you said this, say that. Sometimes I don't remember. Sometimes I do remember, but sometimes I don't remember. And I just like, does it really matter? I raged out. Whether I remember or not, I raged out. So then, you know, that really is not, back in the day, it felt like an excuse, but now I know it's like literally not an excuse. You know what I mean? Because that's therapy, y'all. That's therapy kicking in right there. That's therapy let me know that that is not an excuse to act that way. You know what I mean? But like, sometimes it would feel good to get it off my system, get it off my chest, and they're like, ah, rage is over. But after it feels good, it would immediately shift to being shameful for all the stuff that I said and did. I would feel shameful and regretful. I'd be like, damn, why I say all that? Like I said, all that, I done brought the mom into it. I done talked about relatives and friends and family. I done screamed and yelled and threatened and belittled and devalued. I done did all of that stuff. And it's just like the shame kicks in and the remorse, the shame kicks in. And I would just feel terrible. And I was just like, oh my goodness, now I got to deal with it. But this is where the shame, this is where the spectrum of guilt kicks in. My therapist calls it the spectrum of guilt, because I would feel guilty in a moment and shame in a moment, but then I would immediately, like a few minutes later or whatever, start to justify the actions. Like, well, if that person would have said this and that, or they wouldn't have done this and that, if they wouldn't have triggered me, then I wouldn't have raged, so the rage is their fault. And my therapist said that's not guilt or remorse. She said that's the spectrum of guilt and remorse. And I was like, oh, that makes sense, you know? And I just got, like, I don't know, the rage is just a different animal. Like, sometimes, like, literally, it's like I'm a different person when I'm raging out. And like I told you, sometimes, like, literally, I know it sounds sadistic or crazy or stuff like that, but sometimes it literally would feel good, you know? Because like, after the rage was over, I would just scream like, and it would just feel good to get it out of my system, you know? It's like a system cleanser, like a palate cleanser or something like that, you know? A narcissistic palate cleanser. Like, now I'm back, now I'm good for a little while. Until the next rage episode. But I'm proud. I used to rage out. It's been a consistent thing in all my relationships. But I can't honestly say that in the last year and some change, since my wife came back home. She left me last April. And she came back near the end of May. So she was gone a little bit over a month. So from that point to this point now, we're in June. She left April of 2020. So till now of June of 2021. I've only had one rage incident. Like one. And I was like, literally, I was downstairs. I was mounting my son's TV in his room, and he was 12 at the time, and I have a 4-year-old. They were playing in the room. And I have like these acting lights, the studio lights, because I do acting and stuff like that. So I have the audition, so I have my studio lights and stuff set up, and I have all that stuff set up. And then I seen them hit the light. I was like, hey y'all, can y'all chill out? Don't hit my light. Don't break the light. Those lights are expensive, you know, because they cost like the light bulbs. The light bulbs cost $40, $50, $80 on the high end, $100 on the high end. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to pay for these bulbs. And they hit it. And I'm like, look, just chill, y'all. Guess what happened 2 minutes later? Bang, bling. I hear the light break. And it just all came out. I was screaming and yelling at my kids. And then my wife came in. She said, stop yelling at them. Like, you shut up. Don't yell at me. They broke something. I'm like, stop taking off on them. You know, I'm yelling and screaming. And I'm like, no, see, nobody ever listens to me. Like, if y'all listen to me, life would be better. We would have a better life. You know what I mean? Nobody ever appreciates anything I do. Nobody listens to anything I say. That's why we do it. That's why we're in the situation we're in right now. And they breaking lights and not listening. You know, let it go. And again, I grabbed my son's PS4 controller, threw it and broke it and busted it against the wall. And, you know. And all that stuff happened, and then, you know, so now it's kind of like, again, after all that subsided, the shame kicked in. I was like, oh my goodness, and I done screamed and yelled again, but right immediately, like, if they wouldn't have broke that light, I wouldn't have gotten to this point. And I told my therapist that. She's like, yeah, you would have got to that point eventually. I told my therapist about the rage incident. She said, you would have gotten to that point eventually, because that one incident did not cause that rage. It was a buildup of stuff. And you were not communicating. I was like, what do you mean? It was a buildup of stuff. Like, it wouldn't have happened if that light wouldn't have been broken. It seems so simple. She's like, nope, it's not as simple as it seems. She said, what were you yelling and screaming? She's like, put the rage aside. She's like, what were you yelling and screaming while you were raging out? I screamed that, you know, I wasn't being heard or listened to, and people wouldn't, you know, nobody appreciated what I do around the house. And then she's like, that's the point. You weren't feeling appreciated. You weren't feeling like anybody would listen to you. You weren't feeling heard. So I bet you when you were yelling and screaming, you felt heard and appreciated, didn't you? I was like, I felt heard. I don't know how appreciated I felt, but I did feel like I was heard. But like, so you were not getting a need, some of your needs met, and you didn't communicate that to your family, and that's when it happened. So like, it wasn't the light was just the final straw. It was going to happen sooner or later because you weren't communicating correctly. And I was like, dang it, you know, man. I was like, dang it, man. So yeah, it made sense. So I had to open up the channels of communication a little bit more and be a little bit more open and honest with what was going on with my wife. And that was like last year, October, November. Well, I can look at my Amazon account because I had to order another light. I can tell you exactly when it was. It was at the very beginning of this year or end of last year when that happened. So no more rage incidents since then. So one rage incident in over a year. I feel like, you know, I'm proud of myself. And I know it's like, you shouldn't be in rage in any way. You're a narcissist and you shouldn't rage, blah, 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 blah. I get it. I know I shouldn't rage anyway. I'll tell you, when it happens, I become a passenger. And so I talked to my therapist. They're like, what is going on with this rage? Like, what is it? And she told me that she described it as like, she said, you have precursors to your rage. You have like, the communication comes from like, you have three precursors to your narcissistic rage. Then she called them green lights. She's like, you can exist and have a good life and not rage out if only two of those lights get lit up. If two of those precursors get kicked in, two of those triggers or whatever get kicked in, then you can still have a pretty decent day. You can still have a pretty decent life. And I was like, okay, like, what are the precursors? So she said, precursor number one was the feeling of not being enough. And that comes from childhood. And like, no matter what I did, no matter what I tried to do, no matter what I did when I was a kid, when my mom, she was good. No matter what I did or said to my dad, it never seemed like enough to get his attention, to get his love and affection. So I've always felt like I'm just not enough. Like, no matter what I do, it's not enough. Hence me screaming, nobody appreciates what I do. Nobody listens to me in the house. You know what I mean? So no matter what I did when I was younger, he didn't listen to me. He didn't appreciate me. You know what I mean? So that kicks in. She's like, so if I get to that point with that, like that situation right there, nobody would listen to me. They wouldn't listen to me. And that light got lit up because the light got broke. Cling. There's one red light. There's one little green light getting lit. It was one trigger getting set off. She said precursor number two was the guilt of leaving people behind and things like that. Being more successful. It's like survivor's guilt. Because where I come from, y'all, it wasn't a terrible childhood. I had plenty of friends, plenty of family, plenty of friends and plenty of family and things like that. You know, so I didn't have a terrible childhood financially, anything like that. It was just like, you know, it wasn't, you know, it can be your prototypical came from nothing story when people say, I came from nothing, but I didn't come from nothing. I came from my mom gave everything she could do, you know. Anyway. So she's like, the guilt of leaving people behind, because the more successful I get become, the less people I have in my life and the less people I have in my circle, it seems like, you know, because I'm a successful real estate agent. You know, I'm successful, you know, I'm not going to consider myself a successful actor or model yet. It's coming, though. It is coming. So I wouldn't consider myself that yet. But the more success I get on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and things of that nature, like, people are not drunk. Like, the people I grew up with, the people I'm around, they don't see me as mental illness. They see me as Damon Hammock, the person, you know, the little nerdy dude who's playing Pokemon cards and Game Boy, and, you know, bring his Game Boy to school with hang with his boy WT and his twin brother Devon. You know what I mean? They know me as that person. I know I go by Lee online, but like, my name is Damon Hammock. And they know that person, so they don't want to hear it. So when I'm giving people advice and stuff like that, tell them try to have a better life, and they don't listen to me, I feel guilty that they don't listen. I feel resentful that they don't listen to me, and I gotta leave these people behind in my life, and they hurt. You know, like, I had so many good friends growing up. I still have good friends now, but not as nowhere near as many. You know what I mean? Because our paths have separated because, you know, the narcissists, they don't listen to me, and I feel like I feel guilty for leaving them behind. You know, and so I'm downstairs doing stuff to better my son's life. I'm hanging up a TV in my son's room with his PS4 and all this stuff that he has. You know, and the guilt kind of kicks in that situation right there. Like, though it seems weird, though it seems minor, but the guilt kind of, it does kick in situations like that. Like, damn, I remember growing up, it was me and all my brothers and my mama all in the same room. We lived in the same room, but like, my son, you know, has his own room with his own TV and stuff like that, and it's just weird. So I'm leaving people behind by being more successful. So that's why, you know, I'm supposed to be writing the book right now. I haven't wrote my book because the book dropped. People might buy it. I might become successful off the book or whatever. You know, it's just like, I'm procrastinating on purpose, like, because I don't want to leave more people behind. But, like, you know, I'm going to write this book, y'all. It's coming. So I'm getting through this barrier in my life right now. So that light lit up right there. You know, I know it doesn't make sense to y'all, but it makes sense. That light lit up right there. Precursor number three. I know precursor number two kicked in for a long time, but precursor number three is going to be the narcissistic ego and the superiority complex. When people, you know, think that they're better than me and feel like they don't have to listen to me and things like that, I'm just like, you know, it kicks in. In my situation, it was my kids thinking they were better than me, thinking they didn't have to listen to me, and broke my light. So, boom, all three lights are lit up. You know, all the ego kicked in, the superiority complex kicked in. You know, they could just be, I know y'all going, like, they could just be parenting, but it's different being your narcissist, having a narcissistic brain, y'all, trust me. And bing, 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 all three lights have lit up. So light number one, not being enough. Light number two, the guilt and stuff like that. And light number three, the ego. All of it kicked in. Boom, rage. So she said, you have to start figuring out what triggers these things and just knock them out. So right now, I feel like I can sometimes I can kind of feel another rage episode coming on right now because I'm holding myself back from writing my book. So there's the guilt of leaving people behind. So that light has been lit up for a while. You know what I mean? Not being enough, that light right now is not lit up, but it's flickering. You know what I mean? It's like, you know how you the old store lights or whatever, the old lights outside, how they like flicker on and off. That's how that light is doing right now. And the ego and superiority complex is, oh, that light almost is easy to light. It's easy to light that light up. So I'm going on 1.5, 2 lights sometimes, and I need to get control of that because I don't want to rage out on my family and stuff like that. So I need a reprieve. I need to get away from stuff. So typically, every year I have to take a trip to my beach by myself and just literally sit on the beach, y'all, to clear my mind and clear my brain and to let me know that the world is bigger. I know it seems so simple, like, yeah, go to the beach, bro, and do this, you know, but like, I go to the beach and I just sit on the beach, turn my phone off, and I disconnect from society, you know. And so, but right now I feel guilty about doing that right now because, like, I have 3 kids and my wife is, you know, she's the super soldier. I mean, she got to deal with me. And then we got a 4-month-old little girl that's just the bugaboo. You know what I mean? She's just screaming and crying. I don't want to leave my wife there while I go do this. You know what I mean? So that type of stuff is, man, I feel guilty. You see how the guilt right there? You see the guilt kicking in? The guilt light is like flashing. It's flashing. You know what I mean? But I'm going to talk to her about that. I think she'll understand because she's, you know, she's super. She's Mrs. Hillness. You know what I mean? She's a superwoman. You know what I mean? She deals with the self-aware narcissist. So I just go sit on the beach and, like, I just kind of stare into the ocean, because no matter how far you look, you can't see the end. It's endless sight, and it just shows me that the world is bigger than my problems. And that doing that once or twice a year has helped me, you know, maintain my sanity. I haven't done it in a while, so I need to go back. As a matter of fact, my therapist told me, she's like, you got to go back before our next therapy appointment on July 16th. I have to go back because my birthday is the 14th, y'all. If y'all wondering, like, you sound like a Leo, my birthday is July 14th, 1980. Sorry, y'all. Vitamins kicking up. July 14th, 1985. I am a Cancer. If you're curious about that. But I don't think that narcissism and astrology have anything to do with each other. It's just me. I know people are like, wait a minute, what's your rising sign or your sunsetting sign or whatever? I don't know anything about that, but I just don't think. Because most people will guess I'm an Aries or something like a Taurus or a Gemini. You know, those Geminis are narcissists, you know. Or, you know, those Aquarius narcissists are something different. They are a different breed, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's going to cut it to the end of the narcissistic rage episode. I know there's a lot more I can go into, but I've been trying to keep these videos under a certain amount of time to keep you wanting more. Isn't it very narcissistic of me to keep you wanting more and coming back for more? Anyways, y'all, I really, really, truly appreciate every single person on here, off of here, and things like that that are, you know, helping me become a, you know, the better person overall. You know what I mean? But I like and subscribe for more, of course. And I'm thankful and I appreciate every single person out here. Mental Illness is out.